Welcome to Islamic Life Coach School Podcast. Apply tools that you learn in this podcast and your life will be unrecognizably successful. Now your host, Dr. Kamal Akhtar.
Hello, hello, hello everyone. Peace and blessings be upon all of you. I've been pondering on this podcast episode topic for a while now, and it took me some time to figure out how I wanted to approach things. To be honest, the idea of it came from a place of annoyance and irritation. And all of it started just as a fleeting thought popped into my head. But as I recommend you guys do the work, I started to do this work on myself, which I frequently do, and I decided to dig deeper and see if there was anything useful in there. So in this episode, I'll share with you why I think this particular thought of annoyance is worth exploring for me, and I will discuss the topic at hand. I frequently find myself correcting and overcorrecting my work to the point of paralyzation. And I started to wonder why that was. So what I'm going to talk about today is going to be a walkthrough of what it looks like when I do my own thought work on myself. So as you can imagine, in my line of work, I come across Muslim women from all different backgrounds. Some of them forgiving and others not so forgiving. Let's say I have a social media post. Then I will have 10 comments on it about how women shouldn't wear nail polish. And I actually agree with that recommendation. I just find it fascinating that when women get fixated on the nail polish, they overlook the message that the post is actually describing. In their effort to make their objections known, let's say about the woman who wears the nail polish, they don't really seem to be paying attention behind what the message of the post is. I honestly didn't think so much about posting the picture of a woman in nail paint. If it was such a big issue for me, I wouldn't have posted it. But mostly, when I'm trying to post on social media, I'm thinking about how much this will benefit the person who reads it. Me in my head is mostly focusing on what's right rather than what's wrong. And this level of fixation about what is wrong about something is actually a very basic evolutionary function of our brain. When our brain shows us what is wrong with what we see, then in the past, it used to help us stay alive by avoiding danger. But these days, none of that actually matters because nothing is actually that wrong to a level that it can keep us alive by keeping us out of the woods and out of the tiger's way. A social media post is not a life and death matter, but our brain still interprets it that way. And some women go out of their way to point out what's wrong with it rather than focusing on what's right. Because our lower brain actually does not know how to tell the difference between something that is actually life-threatening versus something that is only being perceived as life-threatening. So this is where I find myself overcorrecting my work. And a lot of it has to do with my own mind-body dichotomy. In my work, I teach mind management and thought work and something called intrinsic coaching, where women in my program get accustomed to coaching themselves in a situation to respond to it effectively. They can choose their response rather than reacting to a situation if and when they get good at intrinsic coaching. This level of coaching takes monitoring of thoughts. So naturally, my teachings become about how to manage your mind. Then flows in my tendency to overcorrect my message. And this, by the way, to me has been a recent realization. Because mostly I was doing this subconsciously. Because when Islam teaches mind-body unity, it approaches it in a holistic, collective manner. For example, the spiritual heart is supposed to be the mind, is supposed to be the receptor of thoughts. And it doesn't help that the more scholars I talk to and the more books I read, the more language difference I run into. I do ultimately think that mind and the heart are the same. But whenever I approach my message, I always find myself talking about the mind and then just adding the heart to clarify my message. What it has done so far to my work is that it only adds work. It takes away from my message because I lose my focus on what I should be saying. Because at that point, I'm worrying about what people will get fixated on what is wrong with my message. And this, of course, like I mentioned, has been a subconscious baggage that I was carrying around. And once I came to this moment of clarity that this was actually happening, I did my own intrinsic coaching to make my changes. And whenever I do my own coaching or help my clients do their coaching, it is with an end result in mind. End result of where I want to create change. And mostly I want to create change because I want to feel better about the situation. Or maybe because I want to improve my own body of work or the results I'm creating as a result of my own intellectual property. And the reason I come into conflict is because there are people out there who are adamant about only doing body work, only doing emotional release, only somatic work, only working at the level of the heart. So the gist is basically like this. Some people say, thought work alone won't cut it. You have to deal with emotions head on. Don't even bother trying to change your thoughts. And every time I come across a message like that, I think to myself, hold on now. Processing emotions is totally a part of thought work. I mean, if you're teaching thought work, you have to help people process their emotions. Plus, you cannot do emotional release without thought work. Like, you can't process your emotions if you're in a coma. You have to have an active brain reciprocating what you're trying to create change in, which is the basis of thought work, even if the change is at the body's level. So whenever I come across this message from Muslims that thought work doesn't solve anything and we have to create change at the level of the heart, it's like saying the same thing as I'm saying, only rendering my work to be wrong. And you're welcome to do that, but hear me out. How I combine these two entities and how I approach it as a holistic process. So the objections usually lie around that I'm teaching people to change their thoughts around a toxic work situation or a bad relationship situation. And I would ask you to hold your horses. That is actually not what I'm saying. I am not saying that you should stay in a toxic or abusive relationship and change your thoughts around it just to make yourself feel happy about the situation. Coaching is about helping you understand your choices in situations like this, in situations of toxic relationships. This level of choice is what you forget when your brain is going through a trauma response in a toxic or an abusive relationship. Coaching is about helping you remember that choice on the mind's level. But honestly, I have been getting worked up in my head, feeling my irritation. And that level of trigger made me question why this was all happening to me. And the conclusion I came to is because in an attempt to sideline the West, Muslims have a stronghold on heart work, also known as the body work. And I'm all about body work, believe me. But you cannot do body work without an active mind. My irritation was starting to feel self-righteous, so I had to do a lot of coaching around that. Because self-righteousness does feel good. In the end, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from this level of self-righteous indignations. So in the spirit of full disclosure, the level of mind-body integration I'm talking about, how it looked like for me was that I noticed feeling self-righteous. I justified that feeling based on all of my training, and my lower brain told me that your point is justified. But if there's anything I learned from coaching myself, it's that it starts from taking a very curious approach to your own experience. Because when I really just slowed down to question this self-righteousness, I just asked myself, how was I showing up from this feeling of self-righteousness? Is that something I wanted to continue to do? And the answer was a clear no. So then I took a step back. I continued to coach myself on the topic. I realized that getting irritated about someone else's opinion about my work was not a productive use of my time. So I started to ask myself more curious questions. Why are their objections bothering me so much? And this is where the real magic of thought work comes in. The answers I got were extremely revealing and helpful. But again, they can only come from a place of curiosity and compassion for yourself. You cannot beat yourself up for feeling self-righteousness. Otherwise, you would never come to this level of awareness. The answers that came to me was that through these thoughts of judgment of others and feelings of self-righteousness, I was mirroring exactly that in my work. And I will explain that more in a little bit. But during this level of coaching, the exchange of information between mind and body and back from body to mind and is almost instantaneous. We're constantly reading the sensations of our bodies with our subconscious mind and then generating and regenerating more thoughts about it. Only through the process of curiosity and self-compassion do we slow down enough to listen to these cues and to break this cycle. And I invite you to join this level of exploration. I mean, sure, you might come across something that you disagree with and you just move on. But when something really gets under your skin, it's worth exploring why that is. Our thoughts are the seed to our actions, so it is extremely important to get educated on the source of our thoughts. The management of what comes into our mind as a fleeting thought and what we choose to pay attention to creates everything in our life. It is essential to understand the science of thoughts, or otherwise known as khawatir in Islam. According to Muhammad Maulud's book, The Purification of the Heart, all of our actions are derived from a thought that enters our heart. Now, thoughts entering your heart has been thought to be an impossible concept up until now, but it is actually physiologically possible, because more recently a whole nervous system has been identified that's related to the heart alone. But to me, it also means to consider the effect of the thought in your mind on your heart or your emotions. So it becomes extremely crucial to be mindful of the thoughts that enter our mind and weigh them out to see which one of them we should follow. For instance, if you have a negative thought such as, I'm not good enough, this of course can lead to self-doubt and it affects your actions, such as not applying for a job or avoiding social situations. And this is a top level of understanding, almost surface level, helpful, but it is rather superficial still. So in my case, when I was all worked up thinking about people who minimize the role of the mind, it may or may not be because they don't know enough about the subject. But when I show up as my lower self in negative emotions of irritation, self-righteousness, reactivity, I also try to tear their message down, which turns me exactly into what they are being. Short-sighted and closed to different opinions. So like I said, your thoughts will always mirror actions in you and replicate what you're trying to avoid in the world. What they see outside of you, they will mirror inside of you if you leave your brain at default. If you're judging others, it is definitely originating either from the judgment of yourself, or as a result, you'll definitely create judgment for yourself. So as a part of this work, I accepted myself for these shortcomings because, surprise, surprise, I am a human. Istighfar, of course, is a big part of Islam for this reason. But this level of self-acceptance, with flaws and all, allows me to think deeper, and it got me thinking, maybe some people just don't really understand what thought work is all about. I mean, the name itself is kind of misleading. You might think that this work is about swapping out one negative thought for a positive one without really paying attention to anything else. But that's not what this work is about. When I talk about thought work, I'm talking about the whole process that involves looking at your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and how they're all interconnected. Thought work is not about thought swapping. It's about what you've been believing in your body and trying to change it from that point. In Islamic teachings, the sources of thoughts can be categorized into four. The divine, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, angelic, selfish, or from being the nafs, and satanic, or from being the shaitan. And there's no way to tell just from face value of each thought where it's coming from. To determine with any hope of accuracy what the source of your thought is, you have to take a more panoramic view. You have to deduce with some replicable method of what that thought is creating in your life, because the result will determine what the origin of that thought is. And to me, that replicable method is see-near, circumstances that are separate from our nervous system thoughts, which create our emotions, which generate and fuel our actions, the actions create our results. See-near. Meaning, if there's a thought that I shouldn't work outside of the home, we can't determine in itself if it's a good or a bad thought. If it has an underlying premise that I'm contributing in my home, I'm supporting my family through my service, and through this you create actions of fulfillment and service, and you feel self-actualized, then the result prove that you are functioning from a higher level thought. But if the thought is that I shouldn't work outside of the home, but the underlying premise is that I don't know how to be confident, I don't want to be arrogant, I don't know what it takes to make it work in the corporate world, These are the types of self-deprecating thoughts, and they create a result of you just longing and fantasizing about financial independence and mostly feeling unfulfilled. Then the result you've created is a gaping hole in your self-actualization. Then, based on these results, the origins of these thoughts are proven to be nafsi or shaitani. So yeah, maybe we as a field haven't done the best job of explaining what thought work really means, but that's not going to stop me from trying. I'm going to keep breaking it down and explaining it in a way that makes sense to people. Thinking of thought work as just swapping out thoughts is too narrow of a focus. It's really about integrating your mind and body. It's about understanding how your thoughts affect your heart and understanding that your thoughts impact your emotions and actions at all times. Mind and the body are extremely well integrated. The exchange of information between the two is lightning fast. And the healing power lies in understanding this deep-rooted close connection. So anything you create as a framework of yourself, as a thought process for yourself, is based on language. And what we believe for language to be true today was not the case 200 years ago. And it will not be the case 200 years from now. This flexibility of your nervous system language gives you the authority over creating your experience to be what you want it to be. We are all having an opaque human experience, and we're all trying to navigate it. But this, like I've explained to you guys, is the closest I've come to making sense of it, and I share it all with you right here. So the way I teach thought work, in the beginning at least, is that we become aware of how you're thinking and how your brain is processing everything. And immediately after that, we start to understand how it impacts your emotions and actions and how your life can be improved based on any changes. I do this work at this level of separation, at least in the beginning, because when clients come into my program, they've lived their entire lives in a mind-body dichotomy, so it takes some time to put it back together. So at the end, I've started to believe that it's kind of ironic to me when somebody says, it's about your emotions and creating different emotions. Don't really worry about your mind or your thoughts, because to me, it really all is starting with your thoughts. If you can't think about your emotions, you can't process them. That's the basic fundamental thought work. The way you think about your emotions with your mind will determine how you experience them. If you are reactive to your anger state of emotion, your thinking is different. But if you're able to control your anger, your thinking about the emotion is completely different. It is all based on how you think about it. It is all based on how you interpret the sensations of anger in your body. And controlling this level of anger is a huge teaching in Islam. So like my example I gave you, if I'm irritated, then how I approach this irritation will impact my life, my work, my coaching, my family, and my whole experience. This interpretation of the irritation is done on the mind's level. Not that they're both separate, but we have to discuss them separately so that we can safely put them back together. Thought work to me is like a steering wheel in a giant truck. You absolutely need control of it to take control of everything else. And at this level, what it boils down to me is that there is no all or none answer. It's an integration of everything. Maybe the answer lies somewhere in the middle of the trend where one side of the spectrum says the body means everything and the other side of the spectrum says that the mind means everything. And I don't know what the next trend will be, but I do know that the answer lies somewhere in the middle. Imam Al-Ghazali describes three fundamentals. First one he called knowledge, based on thoughts, awareness, consciousness. The second one he called a state, which is an emotional or body state or affect. The third one is an act or deed, which is completely in line with what I teach you guys. Dr. Lale Bakhtiar described in her book, Al-Ghazali, His Psychology of the Greater Struggle, she says, the action that result from our emotion that come from our knowledge or awareness of something. It is basically the CNIR formula, the algorithm that I teach. It is not new. It has been present in Islamic psychology all along because this relationship is universal and it is the healing power of the mind and body connection. With that, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful and the most compassionate, that we ask for your protection against the lower thoughts of our nafs and the shaitan. We ask for success and fulfillment for all Muslim women who strive to improve their spirituality, their emotional regulation, their relationships, and their overall well-being through these practices. O Allah, may our minds and bodies be aligned with our values and intentions. May we continue to strive as a holistic approach towards our well-being. O Allah, only you can help us in our understanding of the universal laws. And Ya Allah, we ask for your mercy and blessings upon our families and our communities and the whole Muslim nation. Please keep me in your du'as. I will talk to you guys next time.
Hey, are you thinking about coaching? I invite you to a complimentary consultation with me where I can help you define the solution to your problem, regardless if you choose to work with me in the Empowered Muslim Woman program or not. So you really have nothing to lose. Access the appointment link through the show notes, and inshallah, I will see you there.